our local service provider for recycling. Yay. Thanks for being alive, and we welcome
All right, I'm Mickey Berry, Angel of Chavanoe Recycling. I think we've beaten the dead horse here on the plastic thing, but I'm here to just basically answer all the questions I can to help you guys. I'll briefly just go over what the changes are that are going to happen at the drop sites coming March, mostly. And really, it's just the 3 through 7s. We've already eliminated the plastic bags from being recycled at the drop sites. And I don't call it 3 through 7 anymore. I call it 3 through 5. 6s are all styrofoam. We haven't taken styrofoam in years, mostly. There's a few out there that are random, but generally it's all pretty much styrofoam. And 7s are an other, and that would be your two different kinds of materials, and they just slap a 7 on the bottom and call it other. Really don't have a lot of those materials out there. A lot of that comes through with things that we haven't been able to collect, like toys, patio furniture. We've never been able to do that. So where we are now is 1s and 2s are the only marketable plastic that is out there. And we're trying to get away from even calling it 1s and 2s. We're going to start calling it twist top containers. Anything that's got a twist top on it, put it in the bin, it's recyclable. We'll take care of it from there. Part of that is because, like we said earlier, the numbers was an origin code and not a recycling code. And there's organizations out there, Keep America Beautiful, that are trying to eliminate the number system in general. And they've been successful at it. I use Gatorade as an example. They keep changing the design of the bottle. And if you look at it, it no longer has a number on the bottom. They're no longer required to put a number on it. Your milk jug stays the same. It's been the same design for how long? They'll keep the number on there because they're not changing the mold and how that works. So they're not going to go in there and just take the number out. They just, if they decide to change the design, they're not required to put the number on. So to step ahead of that, we just said twist tops. Call it good. We'll take care of it on our end from there. Too much information goes out the other way and you get confused. Yep. So our next push is for pictures instead of words on the signs.
Yeah.
And twist top. We call it that. So we have to say no. Technically, it's not enough of a contaminant to affect the process, but again, I put in there no lids. And the reason we do that here in Chaffee County specifically is because those are unmanned 24/7 drop sites. And I cannot tell you how many people I've seen walking with a half gallon of rotten milk and then just put it right in my trailer, which then goes right all over my floor and all my people. So to say no lids helps us to get people to at least dump it out.
That's really smart.
You know, I mean, we'd love it if you clean it out, but at least dump it out. And then it ends up in our residual trash a lot of times. The lids are so small, we go to make a bale, it shoots out into the dirt in the pile over here, or it just falls out of the bale and ends up into the ground on our floor and mixed in with everything else. So those are the kind of teeny tiny little things that it's almost impossible to try and get recycled. And having everybody sort the lids out and put a whole separate trailer just for lids is just not, it's never going to happen. So that's the new changes coming to the drop sites. As far as every other material, so far we still have an end user for it. Everything we collect goes to an end user. Most of it goes out of state. We used to go all the way to China. Some of it goes to Korea. The newspaper stays in state. That goes to Penrose and gets turned into insulation. And the glass stays in state for now, and that's going to Coors. And we're into figuring out what we're going to do with our clear glass now. That may end up going out of state, but for now we're working to try and keep it in state. So let's ask some questions.
Lids on the glass?
Lids on the glass don't matter because the mill has a machine that will take that lid, and they got magnets.
So you can get rid of your lids that way.
Yeah, it'll go. What the Coors has is magnets that'll suck the lid out of the mix, and then they'll recycle that with their metal recycling.
One other question, and that is with cans, and also sometimes people crush even plastic bottles. I heard recently that you should not do that. Is that true?
Well, that all depends on where you're at. For us, it's not that big a deal here in the rural part of Colorado. If you're in a state with a bottle bill, it's a big concern because they have to put that bottle into a machine and it scans the barcode and says, okay, that's a Pepsi versus a Coke, and then they do it that way. So this is the problem with recycling. Everywhere is different. There's no two counties doing the exact same thing back to back. And that's why we don't concern ourselves with the crush. A lot of other places don't like it. If you get into single stream, it's already getting crushed in the truck. So we're okay with it.
What about number 8, which are pill bottles, because of the color?
They're usually a 5.
The 5?
Yeah.
I've looked at mine, and they have an 8.
So that's a different whole new deal, and that's part of the problem. There's not really much more than a reason of consumerism to have all these different kinds of plastics. You know, I bring everything back to ketchup. We all had our glass ketchup bottle, and now we all have a squeezable bottle. And it's all because, one, the consumer liked to squeeze it instead of squeezing the pickle jar in the 57. And the other side of it is shipping. You can put twice as much on a load of plastic than you can of glass because of the weight.
Yeah. But it also saves energy, you know. So.
Right. So that's it comes
so
down to consumerism.
The pill bottles can go into the recycling, is what you're saying.
Not anymore. That's what we're turning into. It's because they're a peel back lid.
Right.
That is that number 5. And the problem is there's no market for it. Perfectly recyclable scientifically, but nobody's buying it anymore.
Well, I heard it was because of the chemical, the color of the...
Nope, there's just no market. There's no market for it. Everything has to be market driven anymore.
I asked the pharmacy to refill my plastic bottles.
Yeah, they won't do it.
They won't do it.
And that becomes a health issue to them. So there's regulations there.
That's okay.
Go ahead.
Have you considered recycling scrap metal?
We don't do that at Angel of Chavano, for a couple of reasons. One, we don't want it in our yard. It becomes such a huge mess. We're already a big enough mess and annoying our neighbors. So we don't want to take any scrap metal. The other side of that is there's a lot of guys out there in this valley that do things for scrap metal as a side project. Kind of like the guy that cuts firewood. So he goes out, cuts firewood, sells it. There's guys that will come and pick up your scrap metal and take it down there for you. We support that. We would like to let those guys go ahead and do that. We stick with what's available at the drop sites at a market. And there was a metal guy in Poncha Springs for a while, and Poncha Springs really did not like him. And they're barely happy with me as it is.
So as a community, I'm wondering, are we still promoting household hazardous waste collection events for used paint? And
that's at the county level.
Yeah.
Anymore.
But we haven't. Is that something that's still...
That would come
down
to that.
We did, so...
Once a year.
Yeah.
We did a full 4-hour event in Fremont County. We opened it up to the entire region, and it was $47,000 for a 4-hour event. However, we collected more mercury than they thought possible.
And
we brought in Barzol.
Those kind of things I don't have the insurance for. I have to have a toxic insurance for it, and it's too much. I can't even afford the insurance to do document shredding, to do secure document shredding.
So, Wayne, you're saying the county used to offer this and doesn't any longer?
I don't know. I wasn't sure back then. I'm just wondering. I know that I've done it in Durango, you know, where...
Right.
And it usually you get the state to help sponsor it, and we have companies come with hazmat units where they collect used oil, batteries, antifreeze, herbicides, pesticides,
So every year we turn in a SEP project for Chaffee County, which is a supplemental environmental project.
Would you
asking
the list, please?
I do it every year. It's on my tickler every January for the past 20 years. We ask the state health department for money to assist with a HHW event.
And then they say...
And it's happened one time and only because it was offender directed. So the offender, the polluter, they can pay a supplemental environmental, it's set fine, that mitigates their crime or their what they did.
And that's a question I had too for all of you. The people that are making these products have no responsibility for the disposal.
They do in some cases. Mm-hmm. Colorado has got paint care. We've got the Architectural Paint Stewardship Act, where you actually pay for the cost of recycling your paint when you purchase the paint.
Can we get there with other products?
We are there with paint, and we are there with
tires.
The Rechargeable Battery Recycling Coalition. Okay. When they started making rechargeable batteries, they set it up to be to include the cost of recycling.
Yeah. And car batteries are that way, right?
Auto batteries, yeah.
Well, paint stores will take your leftover paint.
Yes.
Yes.
It only takes so much per visit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. And that's only because of capacity issues for them. Now, we could find multiple locations if we need more volume or more space for paint. It's going to do that.
See, the biggest thing out here is that, yes, all these things are recyclable, but we live in one of the hardest places to ship anything in the country. Mm-hmm. It's easier to ship recycling out of Puerto Rico and cheaper than it is out of Colorado. And that's just because we are such a shipping island, is what they call us. And that a lot of that plays into effect of why my market is gone, because I can't afford the shipping to get it there in the first place. Alkaline batteries, perfectly recyclable, but to get that 5-gallon bucket, it costs you more than you want to spend to get it out of here to an end user. And that's why we don't have it here. It's things like that. We're in the middle of nowhere when it comes to that.
How about carton recycling with the plastic?
The carton recycling we're still doing because of our cardboard recycling. We just mix it in with our cardboard.
Oh, and it doesn't screw the cardboard recycling up then?
Not, no.
Cartons like OJ?
Yeah, like your soup, your broth, those kind of things. That is not a wax. That's an extra layer of paper what it is. Wax is something you won't see unless you really run a restaurant. And it looks like a candle's been dripped all over.
So should you leave the lids on those?
I wouldn't worry about them because they have, the mills have processes to eliminate those things. Same with staples in the box. Yes, and the reason we did that is we tried to separate it, because there is a separate market for it, but those carton bins were filling up with cardboard. And so we're driving up for a whole extra little bin of cardboard that should be just cartons. So we said, all right, just mix it in with the cardboard. The mill we use allows us to do that because we are making the paper on drywall. So this drywall here has got a brown piece of paper on the back of it. If you look at it, it's got little dots all over called speckles. And that's your different kinds of paperboard, chipboard coming out in there. If we were sending to a mill that made it into an Amazon box or a Walmart box, they don't want those little dots on that box. So because of where we get to go, we're okay with it. And we don't have enough coming into the volume to really affect the strength.
Let's do 3 more questions, and we don't want to...
Yep. I want to give Simon compost, guys, because they're very important.
Yep.
I wanted to ask you, when he was talking about recycled metal, you know, I know that there's a few guys like Firewood that will come by and pick up your stuff. And he came by and picked up an old freezer of mine one time. And I asked him, I said, well, what about, you know, that
the Freon
or whatever is in there? Don't you have to pay to have that, you know, taken care of? So you need to charge me? And he said, oh, no, don't worry about it.
He might have a license that allows him to take it. You know, my mechanic has a license to do that. So he'll just take it out and deal with it.
I have one more question. The landfill has told me that if I want to get rid of paint, take a big piece of plastic and pour the paint on it, let it dry, and then you can throw it in the trash.
I have to ask landfill. I don't work for them.
which is what we used to tell people. Once it's in a solid form, it can go into the landfill. However, now that we've got the Paint Stewardship Act, we can actually recycle that paint.
But this is quick yes or no. The milk carton thing.
Right.
The paper milk cartons, but they got a plastic component in them.
Yep.
Can I just throw those in in my recycle center into the cardboard recycling?
Yep. So if you look at the new signs we put up, this is where the signage comes in.
Yeah. Yeah.
We try to put on there everything you need to know to use those bins. And you can really start delving into it and be here for days trying to figure out other stuff. So it says on there cartons, i.e. juice boxes, try to give you at least an example of what that means because, you know, it's like chipboard. One place here it's OSB, one place it's chipboard, one place it's particle board. You see what I mean?
Everybody so it's yes or no, it's a yes.
Yes, it is. Read the signs and you'll be good to go.
I'm just wondering what would help you the most if somebody would pick it up so that we can have the recycling there.
So our new contract, what we've done is we're trying to get the cities to put our list of recyclables on the city webpage because we think the locals actually have it figured out. The locals are doing fine. It's tourists coming in. They're used to how they did it in their hometown, or they did it over here. So those are some of the contaminant, but really the biggest contamination problem that we have is stuff that really should just go to the dump, like a toilet.
Yeah. Or a television.
Television. Anything. The other day I had a Lazy Boy sitting in front of the plastic trailer. You know, those are the big problems that we have. Garden hoses, things like that, shoes. I mean, you'd be surprised what we find in these things. Baby diapers.
And if the trailer's full, if you put it on the ground, you're littering.
Yeah. And we in our contract, we have said that we will pick up the overflow. Because sometimes that happens. We have a breakdown and we couldn't get up there to get that trailer and it overflowed. We'll pick up the overflow. That's on us for not getting there in time. But the trash, we can't be responsible for it. I'm spending almost $1,000 a month on trash.
Oh my God.
And I can't keep doing that and stay in business. You got to remember, we are a for-profit. I am not a non-profit organization. I'm a for-profit business that wants to pay his employees. In 2008, when the housing crunch hit, we went from just being about recycling to I had a job fair. There were so many people out coming for one job. To, all right, now we got to try and actually give back to the community by providing a reasonable job for people to come and work and progress in. And we've done that. We've grown from one person. It was me and my wife when we started, and now we're five strong waiting on another one to show up. So,
one last question.
Yeah, there was talk in Salida about relocating.
No more questions.
That's a long one. Putting a fence around it.
Yeah.
That's
an ongoing topic.
Oh, I've been promised a lot of things, and it's always flipping back and forth. Right now, they have to tell me I'll move wherever they want me to move. It's fine. They own the property. We own them. We're the operator. We're not the property owner. They don't want to just shut it down, which is where they almost went to. But yes, I don't know
problem.
What's going
to happen. I'm sorry to cut that off, yeah. But I also forgot to say...
That's a whole other meeting.
In the very beginning, first of all, thank you, Mickey.
Yes. Yes. I have some quick things for you. What I'd like to do is set up with Chafee Green a tour with you guys.
Yeah.
In the spring when the weather's nice because we are not heated. You know, and so
love it, good.
Once you see... with your eyes, yeah, what you're actually looking at and what we're talking about, it gives you a better perspective.
Okay, thank you.
I would like to
say that. Okay, I can take